Welcome to the Performer of the Week edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're discussing our honorable, dishonorable mentions, and our Performers of the Week. Joining me today, I have Jillian. Welcome.
Bueno.
Mel, welcome back. Weren't around last week, so welcome back.
Hey.
And Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
Well, Performer of the Week. Jillian?
My Performer of the Week is, well, I have two. I have Doug Davidson from The Young and the Restless. He just shut shop down in those scenes with Stacey Haiduk, Patty, Mary Jane, when he found out that the heifer that he's been running around town trying to catch that's created all this havoc, even in his life, is his own flesh and blood. When he just broke down and was like, no, no! I felt that for poor Paul. I mean, I can't see why Paul don't see why she snapped like a turtle, because look who his mama is. But anyways, it is Doug Davidson's Paul. And the other one is that Hillary B. Smith, she really wants the best for her child. She's trying to look out for him, but at the same time, she's just torn between looking out for his well-being and also not causing any harm to him when that shiesty lawyer was just going in hard on Matthew. She just looked like she just wanted to say, stop it! Stop it! So those are my two right there.
I really like Doug Davidson this last week, but in the scenes that you were referencing about Patty, I couldn't decide if it was too much over the top or if it would be an actual reaction that someone would have.
Okay, let's say you are a Catholic like Paul. Y'all, all these values have been drilled in your head and instilled, and you have a mother like Mary Williams, and you find out that your sweet innocent sister, well, not sweet innocent no more, but your sweet innocent sister is this havoc-causing creative bitch, Mary Jane, is actually Patty.
I have been there. I have seen firsthand when a family member disappoints someone to a horrible, shocking criminal degree. I've seen my grandmother react to that. I think his reaction was spot on.
Yeah.
He just found out that his baby sister almost killed a child, did kill a dog, and has just done all this psychotic stuff. That
his sister tried to have him arrested for stalking.
On a show that we see over-the-top cartoonish performances all the time, that was not over-the-top.
That
Jamie,
was perfect.
Who do you have for your Performers of the Week?
I just have one, and that is Tuck Watkins from One Life to Live. I am officially a David Vickers fan. I have to admit that I have not always seen the, you know, reasoning for all of the hooray, the favorite son is returned hoopla that he gets every time, because usually I just think, okay, he's funny, but he's just going to be ridiculous for three butts and then he'll disappear. But this reality show storyline had me bursting out in hysterical laughter. I was like, Brian Franz, forget this show airing in reruns on SoapNet. It needs, One Life to Live needs to air in reruns on Comedy Central. Just from everything, just coming in, you know, everything that he said to Vicky and Dorian, but then the getting to the Buchanan house and just everything.
No. You mean the real Bukes of Lantown?
Getting over there and just showing his natural behind, you know, just the, and it was such a cool way to let new viewers know who the Buchanans were.
It was great. It was commentary, and the commentary as like people were trying to strangle him was awesome.
Oh my gosh! It was just funny. Everything he said from, you know, my handicapped brother. I mean, it was so politically incorrect.
No, I loved it. He said, this is Nora. She's a reformed Jew who has a half-black daughter. I was like, oh my God. I hollered. He was funny. I mean, I told Jamie offline. I was like, whoever's watching, who's ever writing that show, Ron is really paying attention to pop culture with the Real Housewives overload. I thought that was so funny as hell. I thought that was brilliant. So,
and then the way he just—I mean, he just kept on, "Daddy," and you know, and all the.
Oh, it's just like, get out of here.
Oh, it was just hilarious. It was hilarious.
And the line about reality television was great, too.
Yeah, I hope that they keep this going. That was the best stuff I saw in daytime last week. I mean, and he'd look at that camera.
He'd be like, you know. No, when he used Matthew as a shield, I was like, that's such a hood move.
Oh,
yeah.
That was so just, I mean, it's like, are you Nino Brown?
Yes.
He was amazing. Tuck Watkins killed me all week.
I said it on Twitter after watching One Life to Live. I'm like, yo, it's official. The kid is really a One Life to Live fan. Like, that is my guilty pledge. Well, fuck it. It ain't guilty.
No, you don't even have to be. There's no guilt in that. If you
guilt. It's pleasure.
This show is the shit. And it proved. I was like, thank you, because sometimes when we hype something up, you know, they let us down. But they just brought it big time this week. I mean, this was...
Cousin Rod. I'm going to give him some pecan pie. Cousin Rod.
Stealing it from Hogan to give it to Cousin Ron. Is that what it is?
Who?
It's Mr. Uncle Ron. We have decided. He is now Uncle Ron.
Uncle Ron. Okay, well, Uncle Ron. Shit.
Mel, who is your performer of the week?
My performer of the week is Noelle Beck from As the Bell Turns. I can't really lie, I never was a real big fan of her in the role, but this week when Holden died, she showed up big time. I felt like her reaction was really real, like she couldn't let him go. But of course, since this is a soap opera, we have to throw in Damien and have her and Meg fighting over Damien while Holden is supposedly dead. I don't know, I loved all her scenes. I thought she did a real good job.
My performer of the week is Tuck Watkins. As I mentioned on the blog, everything this last week was Texas-sized awesomeness in his story with the reality show. It was fantastic. Every single line delivery, every single facial expression, getting strangled by Nora, having Clint pull the gun on him, and then have Bogos, he's my son, I still have to have a relationship with him. And then, as Jamie mentioned earlier, him making all the comments, it was the perfect blend of soap, and it wouldn't have been possible without Tuck Watkins. My other one is Colleen Zenk-Pinter on As the World Turns. Her scenes opposite Lynn Herring, where she just dressed Lynn Herring down, were fantastic, and it was like, the bitch is back, and it was great. Jillian, honorable mentions.
My honorable mentions are two. They are both from GH. One is Dominic Zampronga. Dominic Zampronga, who plays Dante / Dominic on GH. He's a good little find. I'm glad that they casted him. I actually wanted David Lago in that role, but this boy's making it. I did! Hush your face! But what'd I say? But he's making it his own. I love it. I love the fact that he's even though he's an undercover cop, he still wants to let loose when Sonny talks that mess about his mom. He snapped and was like, "All right, enough." When Sonny was just being a little bit too vulgar about his mom.
And when he punched Johnny.
Oh yeah, when he punched the shit out of Johnny when Johnny was talking that mess, he was like, you about to get got up in Jake's. I loved it. And when Sonny kept trying to tell him, you know, oh, she's in denial, he was like, you're delusional. He didn't even care that Sonny was his boss. He just let it be known, but still kept into character. The guy's, he's a great find, so I like him. And even though he didn't do nothing really, I still have to give it to him because I was wondering, where the hell is this boy? Is Jason Cook? They finally dusted him off the GH storage closet and used him. Finally, thank God. I mean, what was the purpose of stealing him from quote-unquote Days, even though he wasn't on Days anymore, and you're not going to utilize that boy? So, Jason Cook, you just get an honorable because you just showed up. So finally put you to party.
On the blog, I posted a poll of who should be with Lulu, Dante or Matt. Who do you think it should be?
Well, I don't know because they haven't played it up yet. I mean, it was just one day of them together, so I don't have a... If they keep continually playing Matt and them, I'll make a decision. But right about now, I don't have one.
Okay. Lulu still needs to be... It needs to be Lulu, what's that boy's name? Johnny and Olivia. I hate GH for when they break couples up, people in real life and even in soaps when soaps used to be good, they don't just leave orbits. It would be much more dramatic and interesting for the fans if Lulu had some conflict with Olivia over Johnny, since this was the boy that Lulu has loved and was going to risk everything for the past 3 years and, you know, helped her when her mama was nuts. It's like, stop breaking up these people and then taking them completely. And I know people are like, oh, you're just mad about liaison. And yes, I am. But, you know, that just doesn't happen in real life, and it didn't used to happen on good soaps.
It would have been really interesting. Have
an issue with Olivia. Not
yeah, because Olivia keeps harping about the mob. She was the one telling her cousin, you're about to get killed, Marion Sonny, but she's with the mobster herself. So that would have been some really good conflict, but
And you know, Kate should have issues. You know, they just, GH does this, oh, this isn't working, so let's just move everything else around. Let's move the chess pieces, and then these people are no longer in orbits anymore. And it's just stupid. It's like, it could, organic conflict could be so much better if Liz was like, you know, gets to be torn about or mad or upset about J-Sam and all this other stuff. But it's like, no, they just move these people in these new ridiculous orbits.
Jamie, who do you have?
My honorables are Crystal Chappelle for the scenes where Natalia comes back into town and she basically lets her know that the bullshit reason that Ellen Wheeler used to for her maternity leave was just that bogus. I felt bad for both actors having to try to breathe life into that, but they did the best they could. Van Hances for how he, you know, I'm going to be honest. Van doesn't usually, I'm like Shania Twain with him. He doesn't impress me much usually. But he really showed a depth of emotion with showing Lucas, you know, mourning over the loss, quote unquote, of his, you know, his real dad. And I say real dad by meaning your real dad, a woman who, a school teacher that I had that had adopted children, corrected me on that. Because, you know, in soaps that, you know, you always hear the real dad as in biological. She had adopted kids. And I remember I said, so who's their real mom? And she said, I'm their real mom because I'm the one who's there every night to tuck them in. You know, they have a biological mom, but I'm their real mom. And so, you know, for all intent and purposes, Holden is his real dad. So, you know, I really felt that he really showed that. He showed the connection that they have. Doug Davidson, I thought he was amazing. I thought his reaction, Paul's reaction to learning that his
That's an Emmy reel. That is an Emmy reel next year.
I thought his eye was going to pop out of his head, you know, where he had to realize. I mean, somebody told Doug Davidson, which I always think Doug Davidson is pretty spot on over the years. But it's like this man is like they putting vets up under ice, you know.
I ain't trying to go out like that.
I put on ice, so he's like, I'm going to bring it in every scene, and I'm really...
I ain't going out like that, Maria. He said, I ain't going out like that.
And then my fourth is also from Wyatt R. It's Miss Little Miss Tamman Sursuck. I'm so proud of my little baby. I told y'all she was getting better.
Hey, I never hated on Tamman.
There was a lot of Tamman hate out there, though. Maybe not have been you, but there was a lot of Tamman hate, and Tamman... You know, Tamman did the damn salt and pepper, bitch. I take your man.
Yes.
That was good.
She was like, you want, you know, Amelia, Victoria, you want my husband? Yes, I do. I was like, roll your neck, girl, roll your neck.
I just wanted to say yes.
I love it. I love it. I hate that she's leaving. I hate that she's leaving.
Oh, damn it.
She's leaving. You know, I'm... we lose an Abbott, we get a new Fisher Baldwin. Gotta love Y&R these days. You know, so those are my four.
In that writer's room. Yeah, I went there.
Mel?
All right, my honorable mentions, I got a list. Surprising, right? Okay, I'm going to start with Guy and Light. Crystal Chappelle, for all the reasons that Jamie mentioned, she was awesome in those scenes. Poor thing, she's got a broken heart. All right, then I also have Robert Newman for his big scene with Kim Zimmer where he's like, I still love you with all my heart, but I can't help you anymore because you're pretty much pathetic. Which is, I felt like he was saying it for everybody. I was like, keep saying it. He was awesome
he said
in that
scene.
You're
evil.
I liked his scenes with Crystal Chappelle in the bedroom. Those were really good, too.
Oh, what? They're going to tear down PPAC. These Ohio fans are going to drive to PPAC and whoop ass. That's all I'm going to say about that. All
right. I also have Maeve Kincaid because she shut everybody down in that one scene where they kidnapped her for her wedding with Billy. She was like, no, I'm not fixing to marry you right now. And everybody else is in trouble for trying to pull this scheme on me. She shut it down. I also have Van Hances for his reaction from Holden's death and everything. That was really good. Colleen Zink-Pinter because Barbara is back. The bitch is back and it is about time.
Barbara told me to tell y'all she ain't gone nowhere. She said that damn pasta salami had her on ice.
That white suit she had on was throwed though. Damn.
Oh, it was.
Oh, okay. Well. Anyways, I also have Tuck Watkins for every reason that everybody else said, and Doug Davison because he still got it. All right. That's it.
I ain't going out like a punk.
My honorable mentions are Amanda Seton on One Life to Live because she has made Crystal Hunt and Stacy watchable, bearable, and has actually injected a little bit of fun into the storyline. Lynn Herring, I mentioned Colleen Zink-Pinter dressing her down as my performer of the week, but those scenes wouldn't have been as much fun to watch if Lynn Herring wasn't there. And I know Jamie's right, she's Lucy Cope 2.0. But you know what? In this case, I'm enjoying it, and I don't really care. Doug Davidson, as you guys mentioned, great scenes. Before the podcast, I had mentioned to you, it was one of those things where it's like, I couldn't tell if it was over the top or if it was great acting, but either way, it had my attention. Dishonorable mentions, Jillian.
Amelia Hynley from The Young and the Restless. I'm not even sugarcoating shit on that one. She, once again, I'm like, Amelia, why do you do this? Just when she's about to get my hopes up, and I'm about to say, okay, you know, maybe she is working this Victoria role. She just torpedoed that. Like, when she was going up head-to-head against Tam and Sursok, I was like, okay, Victoria is in the building. Tam and Sursok just came there and stole her thunder and walked away with it. She just stinks to high heaven. And I'm sick and tired of them trying to justify her schizo behavior as that coma thing. You either write to this woman's strengths or write her back as Victoria, but it's like she's confused on it too, so poor thing. And then Amanda Seton, sorry, I'm not feeling her. She was just on the what is that? About to have a Luke moment. Sorry, but was not feeling her. I'm sorry, but Stacy's Crystal Hunt starting to come into her own in that role. I don't see how this child is making her better. If anything, Crystal Hunt's telling her, watch and learn. Sorry. She ain't doing it for me. Maybe next week she'll do it for me, but she ain't. So there.
Jamie?
I have three little categories separated. First, on my rebuttal, I consider Amanda Seton a welcome addition. She didn't make enough to be an honorable mention, but I will create a new category and say a welcome new addition. I loved Amanda Seton. I thought she was fun. She recalled the days of the schemer having the bitchy sidekick. They were like a sociopathic Marion Rota.
Douglas. Sunset Beach or Sarah Buxton with
Nicole. Didn't watch that show. No. Okay. Most improved. I have to give my most improved to Miss Amelia Hynley. I've been very hard on Amelia, but I thought she brought it. I thought she brought it in the scenes where she got, you know, I thought she brought it all week. When she got the pictures and she was like, you know, you thought my husband was cheating on me, and, you know, and then he's like, oh, my darling, I didn't think that. I had him followed because I'm a nasty son of a bitch. But, you know, I liked her scenes opposite Colleen. I thought she, you know, she played them strong. I loved her confrontation with JT. I thought, you know, now I will say this. I'm not, you know, I don't want to give and take away, but, well, you know, I was thinking, okay, now is this really acting or is this really just her going, okay, let me just imagine if this really was true and this was, you know, and maybe I'm reading too much into that because plenty of married people work together. One of my favorite couples, Doug and Julie, on Days are married in real life. So, you know, I'm not going to discredit that. I thought she did good. I think she just needs, if I had one piece of advice for Amelia, just give up the Wuthering Heights shit. Just stop the fragile flower shit and go back and watch Heather Tom's tapes. This is a ball busting role. And I really thought she, you know, she tried to go there, but she kept relying on that. Let's play the wilted flower. Victoria Newman is not a wilted flower.
Hell
look
no.
Directly in the face. Be direct. Be your father's daughter. That is who this part is. Maybe maybe they haven't conveyed that to her. I mean, you know, I'm going to bring it on the writers here. Not only do they not write her like she used to be, but they created this. I mean, yeah, I remember Victoria liking art, but shit, they've acted like she's, you know, Paloma Picasso or somebody with this movie. It's like, and I thought that crap would end once
with
LML left.
Yeah.
Maria, we don't want any more art storylines. We are not interested in this shit. If we wanted to watch about, I mean, is Tyrone a real? Let me. I don't want to be dummy, but is Tyrone even a real artist? Okay, it's a fake. Okay, but still,
I looked that shit up.
Who cares? We don't care. We don't care about reliquaries. We don't care about art. I don't, you know, I do blame the actors because they have to act, but it's like these people, like they were asleep in art class. God, they can't
know
stop.
I was shit.
And your audience doesn't get it. Stop with the goddamn art storylines. But okay. But I still give her most improved after all that. And then I also have to say Jerry Verdorn, and I know this is gonna sound crazy because I think he's a great actor, but I've never really felt he was Clint.
Ooh, say it again.
On Guiding Light, but I've always felt like it was Ross Clint now. But he was a cowboy this week, complete with his shotgun.
He was Asa. He was Asa too. He was like Asa Light with that
he
shit.
He
was
defending his homestead, and I enjoyed him for the first time since he was with Dorian. So Jerry Verdorn, please don't take most improved to mean anything tacky, because I think you're a brilliant actor. But in this role this week, I think you really shone. And then I have two dishonorables. And one of them is an amazing young actor, Tom Pelfrey. Stop yelling. Stop it. Stop it. I need you to never look at A Streetcar Named Desire again. Stop. Seriously. Stop with the Stella shit. It's overplayed. It's like it's your shtick now. I can tell when you're going to do it. Tammy! Sarah! Edmund! Stop. We get it. We get it. Please. There was no need for that. I mean, you're distracting your focus. You're shooting a gun. You're going to shoot Edmund. I mean, Jeffrey. You're going to shoot Jeffrey with all that screaming and shit. It's just like, stop.
And I wouldn't blame Jeffrey. Jeffrey popped a cap at him for that shit.
It's like the neck. I would have shot him in the leg, seriously. Stop yelling. Stop. I mean, it's okay when Tammy dies or something big happens, But just, it's like he'll come into company. I want a bagel!
Shut it up.
Stop. And then that Ewa de Cruz.
Ewa.
I've never liked this person. I've never understood why she was necessary. Ewa, Ewok, I don't know. Never thought she was necessary. Bless her heart. She was fun. She's been funny at times. Add a little color. This show is about to go off. They've got too many side characters. It's like a buffoonery. It's just buffoonery with all this wheeling around one of the most powerful supervillains in all of daytime. The Scooby-Doo gang. Lucy Cole. It's like, where are Felicia and Doc? I mean, well, I know where Doc is. He's over there opposite Dixie Cootie. It's like, stop! This is not As the World Turns. I don't want to see hijinks at that hotel, either we're hiding in the boiler room. And then she's like, I'm going to tell where you are.
Was that the same?
Run over with his wheelchair. Just run over, James. Run over.
Anthony Herrera, he's like,
he could be in Argentina right now.
Could I ask you a question? Is that the same boiler room that Luke and Noah were held hostage in by the Wonder Twins?
I don't know
where it was.
No, it wasn't.
I was waiting for Lisa to come in here. What are y'all doing? It's fashion!
Oh, my Lord.
Mel, who do you have for dishonorable mentions?
All right, my dishonorable mentions. Of course, I have Clementine Ford, naturally. I have to mention her big long curls that she had on that double date with Chloe and Chance, because she reminded me of the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz, and I just couldn't help myself. All we just needed like a big bow in her head, and okay. Anyways, Kaylee Van Zandt, we all know why. Bonnie Dennison gets one for me this week because, like Jamie says, that baby doesn't know where she is. She has
no
clue
what acting, huh? She just stopped.
Clue. And I got to give her a wardrobe a dishonorable mention, too, because she had us on, had on some coochie cutter pants.
Yes, she did! I love some the coochie
I could do it. Some coochie cutter shorts.
I loved having another Texan on this podcast.
No, man. Stupid. And she's supposed to be at work with them on. I'm like, where are your clothes?
Working.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandma. Cute rule. And she's so cute. She's a cute little girl. She's a cute little girl. She can, you know, go to an acting class. Damn. They ain't got no acting school in PPAC.
No.
And then last one, I got to agree with my girl Jillian. Amelia Hindley is on this
list. Say it again now.
Because Sam and Sir Suck took her lunch money and hit upside the head at Brand.
Do you want
See, no one can ever say I'm the harsh one anymore because I tried to throw Amelia a bone.
I ain't throwing
she
nobody.
She was bad. Tammy stole that scene from her. And y'all know I don't like Tammy like that. Jay been trying to tell me, but Tammy showed me a little something this week.
Tammy. She looks
now,
like
I'm with you.
Lisa Hartman.
Mel, I'm with you. I will not shed a tear when Tammy leaves, but this week, she was on a roll. And when Amelia came in, because Amelia's my dishonorable as well, Amelia started out good, and it was like a balloon. I mean, her scene started intensifying, the balloon keeps getting bigger, and all of a sudden, Tammin just took a giant old stick pin and popped it, and all of a sudden, Amelia went poof.
Amelia do that all the time, though. She will start out strong in the scene, and then by the end of it, she don't know where she is.
Well, she's having to spend so much time memorizing PBS art specials so that she makes sense of it. I bet you if our wish came true and Sarah Braun took over that role, she'd march into Maria's office. Okay, this art shit. It has to go. I mean, seriously. It's like, I'm not defending, you know, because I believe in acting no matter what, but I was trying to figure out this plot. My head started hurting this week as Kevin and Jana put together Deacon's masterful plot. And I'm going, if the plot is that complex that I'm sitting up here, this lover of everything soapy and convoluted, and I'm going, huh? Look at the paintings. Look.
Oh, I didn't even.
The double etching, sketching.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
I'm going to tell you that a 65-year-old black grandmama who is watching this show is like, cut that shit over the Wheel of Fortune. Let nobody know what you're doing. We don't go to museums. So fans don't go to museums. We're not going.
Stop.
Speak for yourself, Jamie.
We don't know anything about it. To roadies.
Jamie.
They might as well have taken a tender pony.
I'm speaking the truth. Madison Avenue feels this way. Yes, of course there are anomalies. But the average soap fan doesn't know what the hell double sketching etching is. They don't. I'm going to tell y'all, my grandparents would have been like, turn that over to all my children. I'm sorry. Yes,
and wouldn't they have been in for a shock then?
It would have been turn it off, period. But I'm sorry. Yes, I do go to museums, and I know plenty, and I know I'll get 18 comments. Jimmy, I go to museums. I know you do. But you are an anomaly. We are anomalies. The average soap fan sitting at home is not going to invest in this convoluted art storyline.
You're not going to go out and buy a Taroni or a Tenderoni or a Pepperoni, whatever
you know,
the fuck that is.
I don't understand what Deacon has done. I'm like, they revealed it this week, and I'm like, so he found Terrible Tom's other child, and they've hid this painting, and they're trying to get real
Tom,
painting.
Okay. Tom... Stole
Terrible Tom was an art thief now, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess you know, terrible Tom who looked like a greaser that handed little kids dope in the back of a van. A masterful. He walked into some museum and has now stolen a $50 million painting. Yet he was coming to town to con the abbots. It's stupid. It's stupid. They know it's stupid.
I guess they're just trying to write out some of the crap that Lynn Marie's done.
Oh, I'm telling you, write forward. You know what? They got a lot of praise for that. Write this damn show forward.
But she's gone. She's been gone for, what, a year and some
change
now?
It's like, come on now. You know, you've checked off. You done killed the damn dog. It's over. We get it. Lynn Marie was bad. But if they continue only writing to undo or redo or go back in time and do and make do, it's not going to be a good show anymore. I'm sorry.
No, it's not.
And Lynn Marie's reliquary story was better than this art story. I'm sorry. She had a better handle on that kind of stuff. This is convoluted. I don't understand it. I don't understand how all these pieces fit together. It's dumb. Deacon Sharp wasn't some master
art lover.
You know, he wasn't a character from, you know, what's that damn movie, Ocean's 11 or something? I don't even know what this is. I mean, I don't get this. It's like, it's just bad. It's really bad. But this is sorry, Luke.
Well, I would encourage you to send your emails to us on which was better, the reliquary story or the painting story, to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com.
Which was worse?
No, yeah, which was better.
Well, either way. Yeah, I mean, it's just, this is not why I tune into Y&R to watch glamorous people talk about, I'm going to start a new Beauty of Javajou storyline.
And have sex on a conference room table.
I want fashion and glamour and cosmetic
business
in Wisconsin. That's what I tune into this show for. Not
Because when is the last time Victor has been in his trying to do a takeover? When's the last time Jack is trying to do a takeover?
You know, remember Glow by Jabot and Brash and Sassy and Tuvia and all this other stuff? Now
Safra.
We're getting all this stupid art bullshit. We don't like it. It sucks ass.
Comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Click on podcast in the menu and then find the episode number that corresponds with the one you see on your iPod or your computer. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long, folks.
And I'll take your bad words. Bye, y'all.